Blog Talk Radio.
Find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Mana Pro Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Thursday, February 2nd, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Since 1921, Stromberg's has been a family-owned and operated business, providing quality poultry and poultry supplies to their customers. Today, the Stromberg family offers over 200 different breeds of poultry, including chickens, waterfowl, and game birds. They also offer poultry supplies for the beginner or advanced poultry keeper. Stromberg should be on the top of your list when it comes time to order. Shop online at www.strombergschickens.com or call today at 1-800-720-1134. Remember, that's strombergschickens.com.
Today's secret password is brooder. Today's secret password is brooder.
Presenting the clapper. Let your appliances turn on and off just by clapping.
Clap on! Clap off! Clap on, clap off!
The Clapper.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com, or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is Thursday. One of these days you're going to start listening to me. I'm telling you, if you tune in every day at 12 o'clock, you'll have a smile on your face, you'll giggle a little bit, you'll learn something about backyard poultry and homesteading and a little bit about everything, and Friday will be here before you know it. Tomorrow is Friday. Tomorrow will be a fun Friday. We have some great prizes to give away. We have some new prizes to give away, and I'm looking forward to it. That'll be tomorrow right here, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Appreciate you staying with us. The chat room, I'm thinking that there may be an issue with it slow to load for some folks. It's slow to fill up. We got Brits and Grits, East Dallas Dave, a couple of guests. We've got Jenny's in there, Kevin, Poet's wife from Nashville. Coming back up to Nashville, we're going to talk about that in a minute, Poet's wife. Rhode Island Ruby, and of course, Super Grover, good friend out in Kansas. It'll slowly but surely fill up because we have a great show. Midnight's is now in there, and all about the wobbly gobbly there, Midnight's. Thank you for joining us again. And we've got a great show lined up for you today. Today's Thursday. It's the first Thursday of the month, which means we have a regularly scheduled guest, poultry scientist, Dr. Bridget McCrae, PhD, poultry scientist, small flock specialist, professor, and I think extension specialist as well. So she's going to be joining us today. Our topic today is going to be all about the chicken respiratory system. So I'm very anxious to learn about that myself, and of course I'm sure you are too. We tell you quite often on this radio show to just next time you're at the grocery store or at the drugstore or a convenience store, grab you a spiral notebook, put a big CW on it, and then just start taking notes, because let me tell you, we can really all learn a lot from the experts in their field that come on the show, including Dr. McCrae, Peter Brown, the chicken doctor. We've got the ALBC, SBPA, GardenWise Living with Arlena. We've got Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Just keep you a spiral notebook and take notes during the show. It's educational. We have a lot of homeschoolers that listen to the show, too. Welcome, homeschoolers. And we even have some feed and seed stores around the country that broadcast this live to their customers between 12 and 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or it may be from 9 to 10:30 out on the West Coast. And so we appreciate you doing that. Tater Farms now joined us in the chat room as well. A few more guests. And that, I'm sure, will slowly but surely fill up. I know a lot of workplaces had cracked down on the live chat room. So we do have a lot of live listeners that used to participate in the chat room, which their work, their IT department, boop-boo. Nope, sorry, you can't chat and work at the same time. Listen, maybe, but you can't chat and at the same time. So they've eliminated the chat room. So see who got many more guests are joining us. Guest, if you'll take a moment, just below where you're looking at the chat room, it'll say, please register to participate. It's painless. It just takes a minute. You can register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name like the rest of us in there. You only have to do it once. You won't get littered with spam or anything, email, stuff like that. You might get a reminder once a day that the radio show is going to start to broadcast, but that's about it. And I don't even know if just by registering you even get that. I think you have to go into another control to actually get the show reminder, but then you can come in every day and we can get to know you, and you can chat, make some great friends in the chat room. But in about 6 minutes, we will welcome Dr. McCrae to start teaching us all about the chicken respiratory system. Yesterday, we had a lot of announcements. The trip to Nashville, my second trip to Nashville, is really coming into play. Yesterday, I was on the phone all day long and getting all the ifs, ands, and buts worked out, dotting the I's, crossing the T's. It is going to be at the Davidson Farmers Co-op, our big event, the Davidson Farmers co-op that is in Davidson County there in Nashville. It's located on Dickerson Pike, apparently across from the new Walmart, I've heard people say. And we were there last month when we were talking and to City Council and supporting the great group there, UCAN, and the Nashville Backyard Poultry Meetup Group. But we are returning, and this event will be on February, that is Saturday, February 18th. We'll be broadcasting the live radio show there on location from 10 to 11 a.m. on the 18th, and then we'll break that down, and from 11:30 to 1, we'll be offering and teaching the first Getting Started with Backyard Poultry workshop taught by yours truly there at the co-op. It'll be in association with getting a certificate of completion, and then, of course, you can run and go get your permit to have the coop and the whole nine yards, just as based on continuing education with the two great groups that are going to be there. Yes, Allison, this show is going to be all about the respiratory system with chickens. So glad you could tune in. Allison's joining us now. When she's got a respiratory problem, she may have to ask Dr. McCray about here in a few. So, we've got 200 baby chicks that are going to be arriving to the co-op the day before the event. They'll be arriving Friday morning. 200 sexed pullets, brown egg layers, heavy breeds that are going to be there for purchase for people who want to start their own backyard flocks there in Nashville. Those chicks are going to be being shipped from Stromberg's, a sponsor of this radio show. So we thank them very much for, in such short notice, getting 200 pullets that are going to be delivering brown egg layers. These will be a mix of Rhode Island Reds, Barred Rocks, Silver-Laced Wyandottes, Black Australorps, and some others. So people can start their flocks right now in Nashville, in the majority of Nashville, thanks to the city council there and the great folks that have really worked hard to get those passed there. So I'm going to have tons of prizes to give away from eggcartons.com. I was fortunate enough to get just about all their goodies from their booth at the International Poultry Expo. So I've got a wonderful four-hole nest box. I've got, some egg baskets. I got a shipment of great goodies from Manipro, so I'll be bringing those up there to give away. A lot of prizes are going to be given away there at this event, and looking forward to that. That's, again, Saturday, February 18th. So the Train the Trainer class, I don't know where, and I don't know what time yet, Poet's wife. She's up in Nashville. I haven't heard. I don't know if it's going to be Friday night before the event, or after the event on Saturday, or maybe even on Sunday. I'm not sure yet. If I had to guess or had a recommendation, I would hope that it would be after the class. I hope all the people interested in getting the Train the Trainer class would come to the initial class, then we can talk about it afterwards. And I've got the PowerPoint, at least from UCAN, and so that may be used in future classes, so we'll be talking about that and developing that. So I will let everybody know, and that'll be announced as well as soon as we find out. The Train the Trainer, where once I'm gone, they'll have a great group of qualified trainers that will continue doing these classes for free for the community about backyard poultry there in Nashville. So what a great couple of groups up there that have really, really worked hard to get the law passed up there. So we're thankful for them. Thankful for them getting us back up there, and thankful for the Davidson Farmers Co-op for sponsoring our trip up there, and Stromberg Chickens at Stromberg's as well. So we appreciate them. I've already issued the secret password for today. If you missed it, if you missed it, well, then, and let me play one more thing here for you if you happen to miss today's secret password.
La, 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 la.
You'll have to go back and listen to the beginning of the show, because it was already announced, but we will be posting it on our Facebook page after the show sometime this afternoon, and of course it'll be carried over to our Twitter so our Twitter fans can play. But we're right in the middle of our chicken coop contest for February, brought to you by MyPetChicken.com. We got a beautiful chicken coop that we're going to be giving away. There'll be 20 passwords issued, and then the coop will be given away the last day on the 29th. So, hey, if you didn't get here on time, what's the famous words? sucks for you. Nah, I'm just kidding. I love you all. But you can go to our Facebook page and get it a little bit later this afternoon when we post it. But it was announced, I believe, hint, hint, during the first commercial break. So love you all. So how funny is that? But, yep, so collect those passwords for your chance to win that awesome and beautiful brand-new chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com. So we've got that going on currently. Let's see. There was something else. Oh, today's show, towards the end of the show, we're going to be giving away. In fact, Dr. McCray has today's trivia question, and we're giving away a beautiful, brand spanking new brooder kit. Comes with a waterer, a feeder, a heat lamp, the corral, tons of stuff. It's a $50 value from critter-cages.com. $50! One lucky listener is going to win that today before the show is over. Dr. McCray, I'll ask the question. You call in if you're the right caller. Bingo. And you have the right answer, you have won this awesome product, this brooder kit. And tis the season. It's the busy season for us in the chicken world. So how cool is that? Tater Farm says, her questions are always so hard. Do you want some cheese with that wine? Gotta love it. Love you, Tater Farm. Come join us in the chat room. It's so much fun. We love picking on each other, and I get picked on too, but we do have a great time, and we've become really close friends, so we can yank each other's chains a little bit. So how cool is that? But no, this question will be a good one, and you can call in and try to win this awesome brooder kit. So, yep, because we got a coop contest. We've given away more coops and prizes than anybody on the planet when it comes to chickens. Bottom line. So, and very cool. So I've got 12:16. So it is without further ado. Remember, Chickens in the News will come later in the show now. New format for 2012. And I feel much better shows. We're getting the guests on sooner. You're getting educated sooner. And then if you only have an hour for lunch and you got to head out at 1, you've already got the bulk of the education. Then we'll do Chickens in the News, a little bit of host chat, and give our prize away. So very, very cool. New format for 2012. Let me go to, Pat can't join us. She is saving lives in the pharmacy today, so we wish her well, and we miss her. So let me get over here to the switchboard, and it is now time. It's been a little while. Maybe the she was here in January, but maybe once in January. So, hey, almost seems like the first show of 2012, but always welcome back. Dr. McCray, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, guys.
Yay! Oh, wait, you know what I have to do for you? I always do this for Pat. So, welcome, poultry scientist, Dr. McCray.
Nice.
Got a little applause there for you. So, awesome. So, today, first, how have you been?
I have been fine. I haven't gotten sick at all yet this year, which is great news.
Knock on wood. Oh, but which also means you probably, I don't know, have you been hanging around Petri dishes? Because and sometimes with you, that's...
No. That is not the case.
That's good. Knock on wood. We'll be hoping you don't get sick this year. You're teaching this semester, right?
Yes. Every fall, I teach Introduction to Poultry Science. But every other spring, I teach advanced poultry science.
Woo.
So, you know, the students are, you know, doing a whole different set of things. There's fewer students, so it's more of a really one-on-one activity. In the class, they get to do a lot of field trips. Like yesterday, or day before yesterday, they went to a processing facility. Mm. And none of them had ever been inside a processing facility before. And so when we left, they were like, I had no idea there was so many different pieces of equipment. Mm. But the human element is still there. And actually, one of my students knew somebody who worked there. And, you know, there's 1,100 employees at this one facility.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I actually saw her. I actually saw her wave, said a few words, and had to continue on the tour. But she said, I really did not expect to be able to find her. So that worked out really great. The week before, we went to a broiler farm. And so they actually got to speak with a farmer, get their perspective. A couple of the students want to go to vet school, so they ask, you know, a lot of veterinary-related questions. You know, how do you use a veterinarian? How often do you come in contact with them? What do you use them for? All those sorts of questions. And then the week before that, they went to a hatchery. And that was their favorite one. But, of course, they didn't get to really pet the chicks, mostly because they were in the process of packaging them up. But they got in there, and they were like, it was too loud. They had to leave. There were so many chicks screaming their little heads off. They were like, yeah, we're done. They're cute, yes. Let's go. We want to save our hearing.
That's funny. Yeah, it's one of those things. In groups and numbers, very, very loud. When we were doing the first Chicks for Charity event in Atlanta, and maybe it was the second event, we had like 700, 800 chicks all in one big brooder in our garage. It was a big custom brooder that we had made. And Jen just kind of sits Indian style in this brooder and starts checking for pasty butt. And yes, quite ear shattering.
Yeah. You didn't know you need hearing protection to work with baby animals.
Especially the tiny little baby chicks. I know.
And so some of my students' comments are really interesting. They're like, we had no clue how nothing is wasted. They were just shocked. They're like, everything has a purpose. Everything is used or has a use, you know, sold to someone who has a use for it. So, yeah, it was great. I love seeing their points of view completely change once they actually can see what's going on. It's education. There you go.
I'm sure I saw a lot of that bright and shiny brand new equipment at the International Poultry Expo last week. It was so cool. It's like you walk through, and even though this is an exaggeration, it's like, you know, in this little hole you put in a whole chicken, and way down here little breaded nuggets come out.
Right.
So it's like it's truly amazing, but there is still that humor interaction. We interviewed Victoria Knox, who makes specialty knives and knives for poultry, and they said even in the big poultry plants, you're right, there's still that human issue, and they still, you know, so if you...
We went to a Purdue plant, and it was fantastic. 2 years ago, I went and took a class, and they have further processing there, which means you take a carcass and you cut it up, or you debone it, or, you know, skinless, take the skin off. And they had a cone line, and now they don't. They have a lot of equipment. And I asked him, I said, how fast did this go in? I said, did you phase it in over time? He says, nope, one weekend.
Wow.
My jaw dropped. I was like, whoa. Because, I mean, a lot of floor space. But the people there were just the friendliest. I mean, sometimes you think, you know, people get bored on the line and, you know, they're doing the same thing over and over. These were some really happy people. So, and they thought we were interesting walking on through. We were slightly entertaining. So, next week my students are going to go to a feed mill. And the week after that they're going to go to the diagnostic lab. And then they're going to see a manure recycling facility. And then the last week they're going to do an egg laying operation. Then we have spring break. At which time I set up the facilities out at our Hickory Hill farm at Delaware State University, and they're going to learn how to raise broilers. So they're going to have a couple of pens of broilers and a couple of pens of what I'm trying to get is Delawares, so that we'll have some production characteristics to share with all you folks
now,
in the future.
Now, you know, we have a lot of... we have a lot of listeners. Of course, people right now, a lot of them are cringing, going, oh, my gosh, I don't want to hear about all this. This is why I keep my backyard chickens, because I'm so against all of that. But, again, people know, I know for a fact, I talked to them, we've got, you know, the majority of our listeners still have pet chickens, but still buy their chicken at the store. Again, we do have all aspects. We have vegetarians. We have vegans. We have ones that, raise chickens for their own meat, and homesteaders. We have all aspects. So this particular topic, just for a second, we're talking about in her class may not appeal to you, but again, the majority of our listeners have pet chickens that are named, but still buy chicken from the store. So it's all educational. These are people that are, you know, in school. Now, how many of your students say, when they go to these places and they're seeing the big processes and the produce, are from that, again, our part of our listenership of the, oh, I just can't believe this, I can't stand this, I'm so against this, and it's, you know, the term they use, factory farming, and we need to get back to nature and do smaller processing.
Well,
do you have a lot of those
ag
students?
Majors.
Or?
So, mm-hmm. you know, these are agricultural majors. So they've mm-hmm, had mm-hmm. an introduction to it at mm-hmm. some point. Particularly through my class, so they know what to expect.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And excuse me, but in my class is one of the few classes where we actually get to raise the animals from start to finish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they walk away with all the hands-on experience. So they'll feel confident in the future that they can do this for themselves, or teach somebody else how to do it, or their children. Or if they're going to become teachers, then they'll be able to teach their, maybe they'll have FFA.
Mm-hmm.
They'll become FFA instructors. So, you know, these are the young people who are going to share their practices in the future, if they choose
mm-hmm.
to. If they're in a situation that allows them to do so.
There'll be little Dr. McCrays running all over the place.
No. Not everybody's going to be a poultry scientist. But, you know, even if they just, you know, if they raise a family, they have a little bit of land, and they want to raise their own chickens, why not?
Yeah.
They know how. They've done it before. They know
what
to do.
Absolutely.
And so they'll be able to sustain themselves and their family.
Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about our topic today and get in, kind of started with that. We already have, I think, someone in the chat room that says, I think it was Allison that said, is this a show about chicken respiratory system? Because I got a chicken with a problem already. Is this the show I'm supposed to be here? So we'll get to her question a little bit later. But let's kind of start off. This year, me and Doc, we're talking about shows and mixing it up a little. And my opinion was I was hoping for 2012 we would really, and no pun intended here, dissect the chicken. Like one show we'll talk just about the eyeball, and then one show we'll talk just about the comb, or just about the feet, or just about this, that, or the other. So we're kind of starting that today, talking about maybe a little bit bigger than the eyeball, but the respiratory system. So I'll kind of turn it over to you, and I'll be taking notes and paying avid attention and. And no surprise questions, though. But and then, of course, at the end, Dr. McCray will have our trivia question for today. But let's get started with the respiratory system.
Great. Well, the respiratory system for a bird is very much unlike the respiratory system for a mammal, such as ourselves or our dogs or cats, or even the pet cow down the street. You're talking about an animal that is meant to fly. Now, we all know our chickens can fly, although, you know, they're not like Arctic terns or anything that circumvent the globe once a year. They're not meant for that. But the respiratory system of a chicken is very similar to that of almost all birds. So once we're done talking about this, I hope that you'll have a greater appreciation for the bird that lands on your porch and sings you a song and glides away afterwards and has, you know, partaken of the fresh air on your farm. And your chickens are capable of producing a lot of the same sounds, but maybe not articulate them as well. Song is a completely different talk for a completely different day, but we're talking about inspiration for your mm-hmm. birds through respiration, okay? Mm-hmm. They inspire or breathe in air, and they expire or breathe out air. So those are some of the first bits of terminology I'm going to go over.
Okay.
Let's talk about function. What does the respiratory system do? Andy.
Oxygen.
Say it again.
Oxygen.
Oxygen. It provides oxygen, but it also removes what?
Okay, I got to always get this mixed up. Is it carbon dioxide? Carbon
dioxide, yeah. Yep. CO2.
Yep.
So that's two functions. Provide or bring in oxygen, remove carbon dioxide. And then at the third function, can you guess what it is? How about you, listeners? Any guesses out there?
Okay, we got the, going back to my paramedic days, of course, oxygen circulation and exhaling the carbon dioxide. And see, what else do we have?
Think of your dog.
Think of my dog. Oh, yeah. Chickens don't have sweat glands, so it keeps them cool.
Temperature regulation, yeah. Chickens don't have sweat glands, so if they're going to eliminate heat from their body, they have to do it through the respiratory system. So mostly what I'm going to talk about today is the bringing in of oxygen and elimination of carbon dioxide, because eliminating heat from the body would be an entirely different talk for an entirely different day. Okay? All right. So birds are completely different from other vertebrates. The design of the system and how they use it, the physical features, very, very different. The upper airways originate in the nose and the mouth. And so you've got air. For most birds, it enters through the nose, proceeds through the oropharynx slit and into the mouth, down through the back of the mouth, and into the trachea. Now, there's two tubes in the neck of most every animal, including us.
Mm-hmm.
One tube provides air, and one tube provides food.
Trachea and the esophagus, right?
The esophagus goes to the digestive tract, and the trachea goes with the respiratory system.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, in us, if you feel the front of your neck, if you hum to yourself or you say a few words, you'll feel a vibration right about where your trachea is, and it's hard. Just like in most animals, it's hard. What it is a series of cartilage rings that are attached by thinner cartilage, and it's meant to be rigid. I mean, God forbid that any of us should ever fall on the front of our necks, but, you know,
or
get hit. Yeah, I remember taking a soccer ball once and going, getting the wind knocked out of me, but I think it just kind of partially closed my trachea is what it was. But it's meant to be hard and rigid. Our esophagus, you know, meals come when meals come. You know, it expands and flexes, not the respiratory system, not the trachea. So next, you've got the trachea that goes down a few inches down through the neck. And if you ever feel your chickens through the feathers, I mean, take your finger, run it in a ring down the length of your bird's neck, and you'll be surprised at how long that neck really is. And if you've ever seen those chickens that don't have feathers, you know what I'm talking about. It's pretty darn long. It's several inches.
Yeah, neck and neck and the showgirls and
Okay. So once you get inside the actual body cavity of the bird. So you've left the neck, you've gone into the body cavity of the bird. The trachea will branch right when it reaches where the lungs are, just before where the lungs are. And it branches into two branches. And at that branch point is the syrinx, or the vocal cord. for us humans, our vocal cord is right there in our neck where I said you felt the vibration where you can hum and feel that. I can just imagine all of you out there humming right now, touching your throats and going, or I'll bet you some of you are crowing. I know you are. So ours can be, you know, or dogs or cats, our vocal cords can be reached externally. You can't do that with a chicken. It's actually inside the body cavity, that thoracic cavity. So I get a lot of phone calls from people who say, I want my chicken to stop crowing. Can I do that surgery like they do for dogs? No, you can't. Sorry. It just doesn't work that way. So you go past the syrinx, and you've got the lungs that come next. And the weird thing about the lungs is that they're rigid. Our lungs are not. And I'm going to be making a lot of equations to humans. Our lungs are flexible. When our diaphragm goes down, we breathe in. We inspire. When our diaphragm relaxes, we expire. So our lungs are like bellows that are controlled by muscles, just particularly one muscle, the diaphragm. So and the other thing the diaphragm does for us is it separates the thoracic cavity from the abdominal cavity. Now, with chickens or birds, it's all one cavity. It all flows together. They don't have a diaphragm to separate the two. Now, once you've got to these rigid structures that are basically embedded in the among the ribs of the bird's back. So if you were to kind of put your hands over the shoulders of your chicken, up by the neck, approximately that would be about where the lungs are. And they're really kind of inserted into the bird's back. And when you pull out lungs, if you are processing a chicken, you'll see actually the grooves where they, you know, had formed around the lung, around the ribs of the bird. So you've got air that's moved through the nose, into the mouth, down the trachea, and into the lungs of the bird. After that, it passes through the lungs. Now, our lungs, pretty much blind-ended sacs, okay? And not so with birds. It'll pass straight through into something called an air sac. We have lungs that act like bellows in us. In birds, they have air sacs that act like the bellows. The air sacs are really kind of cool because they fill up a large amount of the body cavity. Anything that's not filled up with, you know, viscera is filled up with a lot of air sacs. So a lot of people, if their birds are bitten by a predator, you know, not only are you worried about viscera being damaged, but you want to make sure the air sacs haven't been damaged either. So you've got air sacs that extend through the abdominal and thoracic cavity. There's 9 of them total. And so they're everywhere, with the abdominal sacs being the largest. Now, these air sacs make the bird very light. So if you're going to fly, you know, like an Arctic tern from one pole to the other, you need to be as light in design as possible. Part of these air sacs will extend into the bones. So birds have 2 main types of bones, medullary and pneumatic. Pneumatic bones are related to the air sacs. So the pneumatic bones are the skull, the humerus, the clavicle, the keel bone, the pelvic girdle bones, as well as lumbar and sacral vertebra.
And all of those are, you said all those pneumatic
bones
dealing with the respiratory system.
Right. They might have air sacs that extend into them.
Mm-hmm.
It helps lighten them, lighten the structure. Even though you may not feel that your Jersey Giant hen is all that light, you know, she can still kind of fly, you know. Obviously, she's not going to be a world traveler, but the design is still there. That's what makes it pretty cool. Now, it also kind of goes under the skin. And, you know, why have these air sacs? Well, the lungs are where the gases are being exchanged inside the respiratory system. They don't expand, they don't contract like they do in humans. Instead, the gas moves through the lungs on its way to the air sacs, and then they are pushed back out through the lungs to leave the bird's body. So it's the same route, pretty much. In through the lungs and into the air sacs, out the air sacs through the lungs to leave the bird's body. And there are quite a few muscles involved in both inspiration and expiration. There's about 6 different muscles used for breathing in. But to get that air to leave, there's about 3 more muscles that are used to get the air to leave the bird's body. So as the bird breathes in, air comes into the lungs, through the lungs, into the air sacs. That's breathe in number one. And when they breathe in the second time, the air will leave the air sacs, go through the lungs, and exit. So it actually, for air to leave the bird's body completely, it takes 2 breaths. It comes in, stays, and then leaves during the second breath, the exhalation of the second breath. So birds are pretty cool in that they do things a little bit differently.
Let me ask you a loaded question here, and it probably could take up a whole show, so I'll just kind of, if you can just maybe simply answer this or that. And again, yes, a Sarama can fly a little bit better than a, like you said, Jersey Giant, but regarding most chickens, what is the culprit for not having, is it the design of the wing or is it the weight? If you were going to say, hey, chickens can't fly because of, is it more of a weight issue or is it more of a design of the wing issue?
It has to do with overall design.
Okay, just overall several things. Another topic for another
show.
It
is a combination, yeah. But if you think about the function of a chicken, it's a jungle bird. Its job is to make short bursting flights through thick foliage.
Mm-hmm.
And so the wings are slightly rounded, shorter and rounded. It's not meant to glide like, say, an eagle. Okay? So they are short bursting flight. And then, of course, with our efforts at domestication, we've changed the bird a great deal. And we've been working at this for thousands and thousands of years. So I'm going to try one more time to describe, because I don't think I did a very good job of describing how the air goes through. Air comes in the mouth, through the nose, or in through the nose into the mouth, and goes in through the lungs to the air sacs. Of course, when that breath comes in, they're going to have to breathe out, and the air that was there previously, you use the exhalation muscles to force that air out. Then you've got the next breath that comes in. That air comes in, kind of mixes in the air sacs, and then leaves. So it takes 2 breaths to fully push air through the system. you've got you've also got a unique situation in that design. You know how I mentioned that, you know, you, of course, God forbid your chickens should ever be attacked at all or should ever become so ill that their airway should be blocked. When you open up the body cavity of the bird, either accidentally or the bird injures itself or it's attacked by a predator, the lungs don't collapse like ours do. And being that you were a paramedic, mm-hmm. you know what a problem that presents once you damage the thoracic cavity. You know, you're fighting pressures there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The entire time as you're trying to get the person, you know, it takes only a few minutes for oxygen to be deprived and you're done. So if the bird's body is damaged, the lungs do not collapse. So say you caponize your birds. Now, that's a popular form of meat bird. You can caponize a broiler, a male broiler. So that means you're castrating the bird. You would actually have to open up that body cavity and thereby introducing potentially air, which in any other animal could be a serious problem, but not with birds. Now, I'm not going to recommend everybody goes out there and tries to caponize their birds. It's not necessarily a pleasant process for the bird, but the design is such that they can handle it. Now, if you were to take a bird and put in a cannula, you know what a cannula is?
Oh, yeah.
It's basically a tube.
Mm, yeah. Nasal cannula or absolutely suction cannula, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You put that into, like, say, an air sac, the bird would be doing fine because the air sacs are the bellows. And that, you know, that abdominal air sac, there's two of them, and they take up 48% of the body cavity, of the respiratory capacity, I'm sorry, of the respiratory capacity of the bird. And so, you know, sometimes you look at your chicken and it's hot outside and you see them panting, but their tail's also bobbing. That's because, and, you know, maybe the area, the fleshy area of the skin with the fluffy feathers right below the tail, near the vent, that's moving rapidly. Or if your chickens are sick, a lot of them will take on kind of a huddled stance and their tail bobs quite a bit. And you can see their vent area just really working hard to get that air in and out and in and out. So, taking a moment to look at your birds when they're not well and understanding their body systems and how it's all tied in, you know, when they can't breathe, it's hard. It's hard for them. If you were to cannula, like one of those air sacs, you could get airflow through the trachea, down through the lungs, into the air sac, and out the cannula. And you could also get airflow to go the opposite direction. And the bird, please don't go out and try this, folks. And the bird would be okay, other than you put an unnecessary hole in its body. But now that you kind of get a better idea of the design of the respiratory system, you can see how that works. Of course, if your bird is attacked, you still want to get those areas repaired through veterinary assistance as quickly as possible because those air sacs are thinner than paper. They are air sac thin. They're basically clear sacs that are so thin that you can see through them.
Mm-hmm.
So you want those air sacs to be well taken care of so your birds will continue to live a long, happy life. Also, if your bird breaks its wing, the humerus of the wing, since one of the major air sacs extends into the humerus, it's you know, it could be that the bird was attacked, it's, you know, or it's sick and its trachea is occluded. It could still breathe through its wing if the humerus were broken in the right area and the air sac was penetrated. Do you see how that works?
Yeah, interesting.
If the bird, yeah, I'm not saying go out there and have your chickens breathe through their wings, okay? I'm not communicating that, but the design is such that it could work. So, you know, of course, the respiratory system is designed so that if the trachea is clear, the airway is clear, the bird should be able to live just fine. Once that trachea is occluded or blocked in any way, birds start to have trouble. The best veterinarians, you know, the cost that would be involved with, you know, trying to cannulate an air sac would be astronomical. So the best bet is to make sure that the birds don't get sick in the first place, because that vet bill would just be tremendous. I have completely ignored the chat room. What was the question that had come up from one of the listeners?
Well, maybe we can get Allison to call. I think it was through Allison. If she wants to call in, she can ask you firsthand. That would be preferable. Allison, if you'll call 347-637-3237. Again, that's 347-637-3237. And Allison, when you call, if you'll press 1, when you call in, when prompted to do so by the young lady, press 1 to speak with the host, then press 1 and we'll know it was you wanting to ask your question. Let me get over here and make sure that she is still, Allison Patrick is still in the chat room. She may be listening because she has a little icon next to her name of a little sleepy person, meaning that she hasn't participated in the chat recently, but she is out there listening and she is in the chat room. So maybe if she's listening, she can give us a call now, 347-637-3237, and ask her question. She specifically said earlier, is this the show about the respiratory system? Okay, she said okay, and she's calling in now, so let me get over here to
While we're waiting for Allison, let me go into some of the factors that control breathing.
Sure.
Of course, you know, when you held your breath for a really long time, the CO2 levels have gotten pretty high and you have this irresistible urge to take a breath. So the levels of CO2 in the bird's blood and in our blood helps, influence our willingness to take a breath. Of course, when we hyperoxygenate or hyperventilate, we tend to not want to breathe as much thereafter because we've got far too much oxygen in our blood. There's also a nervous system that ties in to the respiratory system, especially those muscles too. But temperature is a big factor. If you increase the body temperature, then you can, you know, create a situation where the bird needs to hyperventilate. And this happens in the summertime. Some of you out there live in hotter areas than others. And like I said, the bird needs to breathe to release heat from the body. But if it hyperventilates too much, then the levels of base fluids in the blood get too high and they get alkalosis. So keeping your birds cool and comfortable is going to prevent them from, you know, A, being too hot, physically too hot, and then inducing alkalosis because they're trying to, you know, breathe so much to get themselves cool. And then the last thing I'm going to talk about before turning it back over to Andy, I'm going to talk about some noxious gases. The couple of times that you all out there have gone into the chicken coop and you're like, ooh, I waited too long to clean this. Noxious gases, okay?
Yes.
If you inhale noxious vapors or noxious gases, you know, like the sulfur dioxide that comes from the feces, and especially ammonia, those will actually slow breathing. and, you know, even cause them to kind of stop breathing for a moment because, you know, they're noxious gases. So that's kind of a form of apnea. When you, you know, stop breathing, whether you want to or not, that's apnea. And then, so make sure you clean your chicken coop. And at the same time, cold, dry air hitting the upper respiratory system, the upper trachea, the nose, you know, when those cold, dry airs come in contact, you know, that'll also slow breathing. Think about it next time you go out on a really cold morning. Your body's nice and warm. You step out into the cold, and the immediate response is to make short breaths. So that, you know, you're able to warm the air better. But, you know, you'll kind of breathe in and then take a second, hold that in, breathe it out. And so you're trying to keep the warmth within you. And so you want to keep your birds as warm and as comfortable in cold weather as possible so that they're able to breathe normally and be as comfortable as possible. Okay, Andy.
Okay.
I hope I have explained that sufficiently. Hopefully Allison is called in.
She has. Let me get over here to the switchboard, and I believe Allison from 940. You're on the air. What's your question for Dr. McCray?
Well, I know it's not really related. I mean, it's more medical than, you know, scientific. But since I have noticed last night, I noticed one of my Americanas had a odd-looking eye, so I pulled her out of the tube and got her under a light, and she had what looked to me like a bubbly eye. But it was only one eye. The other eye is perfectly clear. No runny nose, no sneezing, no coughing. But it leads me to believe it could be some kind of respiratory disease.
Well, first thing I would do would be wash the eye and see if it occurs again. It could just be that something got into the eye. Some birds are able to clear their eyes better than others. Some breeds have foamy eyes more frequently than others. Like, say, Cornish, for them to have foamy eyes is quite common. But first I would assist the bird by, you know, taking some warm water and washing the eye and, you know, seeing if you can see if there's anything in there irritating it, you know, like a feather that keeps touching the eye, and see if you can help them that way. Going the simple route. And, of course, if there is something else wrong, then you want to have the bird separated.
Yeah, I've already got her separated. I pulled her out last night, just in case.
The respiratory system isn't actually attached to the eye in any way. So it's not like there's a hole in the respiratory system that's causing air to leak out of the eye or anything. They're just too far really disconnected. It's probably something that's bothering the bird, either dust or ammonia or something's in the eye. Or, you know, maybe they're coming down with something and they've got they're working on a sinus infection.
Okay. Right. That sounds good. That's where I'll start again.
Good luck.
I appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you for calling. Oh, my goodness. It's about top of the hour, 1 o'clock. So what we're going to do is take a short commercial break. We'll be back. If you're tuning in late, we welcome you. We want to tell all of our guests in the chat room, if you take a moment, first, thank you for joining us, but also if you take a moment and just below the chat room, you'll see a little button that says register. We'd love for you to register, get your own unique, fun, and creative screen name, and then come back on a regular basis because you can learn so much more on the radio show when you tune in on a regular basis. So we're going to go to commercial break. We will return talking with poultry scientist Dr. Bridget McCray, and stay tuned. We'll be back right after this short break. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brinsea.com. Brinsea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brinsea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea, technology you can trust. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Our guest today, first Thursday of the month, poultry scientist Dr. Bridget McCray, and we're talking, today's topic is all about the respiratory system, and so it's now time to welcome back Dr. McCray. And we've got another, it looks like, Brits and Grits in the chat room, and we also, well, let me go ahead and get to this caller from the Atlanta area, 404. They may have a question for you regarding respiratory. 404, you're on the air with Andy and Dr. McCray. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from, please.
Uh-oh.
Area code 404. Hello. Yes, you're live on the air. Did you have a question?
Yeah, this is Doug. And I, first time calling on the show, I didn't know whether everything had to be related to the topic of the day.
Normally it does, but what do you think, Doc? You want to just go ahead and give it a shot.
I may not be able to answer if you're willing to accept that.
Okay, it's kind of unusual. About a month ago, I despurred a rooster, and we used two different techniques to do this. And I'm experienced. He's bleeding out at the spur a bit from time to time, and actually we're going to try to treat him for potentially a scaly mite that we thought might be underneath bothering his legs. And so we've got this dilemma where he's bleeding a bit. We're using a blue ointment that we use as a disinfectant around our for miniature donkeys and that sort of thing. As an antiseptic, and I just didn't know how critical this was and whether we need to bring the bird to a vet to try to figure out what's going on.
Your first priority is to make sure the bird stops bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's why you use a styptic pencil or quick stop or something like that, because it's just like a dog's toenail. You don't want to hit the quick. And so that's why if you're shortening the spurs on a bird, you want to do it gradually so that the quick moves back.
Okay.
So You could also try to cauterize it as well.
Okay.
So, you know, not being able to see the bird, I don't really know which method to advise. You're in Atlanta, right?
Yes, Atlanta. Yep.
Okay. So you have a wonderful extension service in the state of Georgia. I do hope that you will take advantage of your extension poultry veterinarian who can assist you with this sort of situation. You may have to take the bird to them to take a look at it, but they can assist you because, again, you're in a state that has a wonderful amount of poultry knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
As far as scaly leg mites, I would take care of the bleeding situation first before attempting to deal with scaly leg mites, because that requires you to put on a lot of, like, say, Vaseline for several days in a row that, you know, gets really dirty, and you don't want an open wound there.
Yeah, that we were gearing up for that when we actually soaked his legs and saw the bleeding going on. So,
let me ask you real quick. I don't think it was mentioned. What technique did you use to despur that particular bird?
I had read about using an oil at the base of the spur, and then my wife went online and found a website that offered up steaming a potato and sticking it over the spur holding it there for a while. And I did a combination of both to get the spur off, which first time doing this, had no idea of how difficult it might be, but you slowly twist in it. And eventually they did come off. There was a little bit of minor blood that they on the website that was mentioned. But it looked like they were fine, and they were just going to harden up maybe and start growing again. But this has been 4 weeks ago.
So. And he's still bleeding?
Well, no, he wasn't bleeding at all. It just seems like he started to bleed. And, you know, my concern is there a way of determining whether the despurring happening at the time when a bird might have scaly mites may have created an issue with the mites?
Yeah, you've got a lot of confounding factors there. That the bird's immune system is already being challenged by the mites, if there really are mites there. And so you may want to seek a veterinarian. I mean, I always recommend to people going the slow but steady route and just, you know, working those spurs down. I use a Dremel tool with a rock attachment. So if you ever want to use that in the future. And just kind of grind the spurs down and make them round. That works great. And you can see if you're about to hit blood, you know, if you hit quick, you can see that. And that's what we use for our dogs too. That's not so much. Yeah.
Right,
but
well,
that works for
Go ahead, doctor.
You can also use the Dremel tool on the beak if you're really careful, but most birds won't tolerate that. You'll have to use nail clippers or nail
board. She had mentioned the extension agents and service there. Of course, there's always UGA in the poultry lab and experts regarding that. But do you have a list I know of about three there in Atlanta. There's one in Decatur for pet's sake. They're in Decatur, Georgia, with Dr. Mimi Shepherd. There is also one out kind of in out I-20, there's Dr. Tara Hadley. I think it's the center for, Hospital for Birds and Exotics, and that's Dr. Tara Hadley. And then there's one up in Alpharetta, which is, I'm trying to think, it's Dr. Martinez, and he is with, what's the one in Alpharetta Gen, the vet up there? In Loving Hands. Loving Hands Animal Clinic. I know those three. Loving Hands, you'll want to request Dr. Martinez. And then, of course, Mimi Shepherd, and I think someone else has taken over, I think, her practice there in Decatur, and that's for pet's sake. And then Dr. Tara Hadley in Atlanta, kind of out I-20, I believe, Evans Mill area, and that is, who did I say? Oh, I just mentioned her name, Tara Hadley, on that one. So those are three that you could probably look up fairly easily if you wanted to take them to a certified avian vet.
Okay.
And go that route.
Thanks much. I appreciate that, and I'll get on that just to make sure we're going in the right direction with this bird.
Super. Wonderful. Thank you very much for listening out of Atlanta, and thank you for your call. And we've got, looks like, a call coming in from, I believe, West Virginia. I believe this is Brits and Grits calling in with another question, I think, maybe respiratory-related. Go ahead.
Hey, Andy and Dr. McCray. How are you all doing today?
Wonderful.
Good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I've got one of my sweet girls. She was almost 2 years old, and one of my original chickens, and she's very, very, very precious to me. And about 2 weeks ago, I noticed she stopped wanting to try to walk around on her leg, and then she completely stopped, and now it's sort of like sticking out at a weird angle. And now she's developed this sort of, I've had her inside the house and, you know, to keep her, you know, out of stress from everybody else. But I have had to kind of, you know, clean her up a bit. And I'm wondering if I've possibly wound up giving her something. Like, she's obviously having a hard time breathing, sort of like gasping for air a bit. And I've just started doing that really like this morning. And started her on like Duramycin, but she's really not wanting to drink. So what I've been doing is I've been putting liquid in with her crumble, and she, you know, gobbles that up. She's eating like a horse, but she just doesn't really want to drink. So I'm wondering if I can possibly give her like a penicillin or something like that might, you know, a shot that might.
You can only obtain medications from a veterinarian, and so to get an accurate dosage for your bird, you're going to need to seek veterinary assistance. And without seeing the bird, I can't really give you. I mean, it wouldn't be reputable of me to give you a diagnosis over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'm not a veterinarian. So, unfortunately, not being able to you know, look things over, I do recommend that every day you write down what you see in a little log so that you can go with that to a veterinarian and say, I don't remember how many days ago it was. Well, no, you wrote it down. It was 3 days ago that you saw this kind of poop, or the bird started breathing this way, or you stopped giving them such and such 5 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing that I can recommend that you do. It's called a sick log.
Right.
And unfortunately, I will recommend that you go see a veterinarian to determine what really is bothering your bird.
Yeah, I mean, but my, I guess, like, a more generalized question is, like, say, for example, is, like, you know, when I wash her off, is that, would that potentially have caused her to have a respiratory problem?
To, like, wash her outer body? No.
No? Okay. I didn't know.
No, not unless there was, you know, a hole in her somewhere.
No.
And you would have found out real quick by washing her that there was an additional problem.
Yeah, okay. I just wasn't sure if, you know, the moisture or something has, like, caused her to... Like I said,
unless she dipped her head in the water.
No. Well, she may have. She because I remember her. You know, when I was washing her, and I sort of like I turned her over to wash. You know, underneath her, and she just kind of squirmed and she stuck her head under the faucet. And you know, she quickly shook it off. But I mean, obviously, I don't know if any fluid went down the wrong way or anything.
Well, you would have heard it in her. It would have sounded like she had mucus in there and would be trying to cough it up.
No.
So she's probably, you know, given what you're describing makes me think range paralysis, of which there's nothing you could do. But if it's not that and she's curable, I'd say, you know, be a good mama and see if you can help her some more.
Okay.
Of course, that
I've got a credit
bill, but...
at the vet. So. Well, I've got a little credit at the vet anyway, so I'll see if I can't take her up there then. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All righty, very good. I think that's all the callers we have in queue right now. So we can, it's about 1:15, but we can kind of, whatever more information you have that was on your agenda to share, you can do that, Doc, or you can kind of give us kind of a wrap-up. It's purely up to you because...
That's what I had to share with you today.
Perfect.
As far as the respiratory system, but I do have a question I would like to share with your listener.
Yes, we do. The trivia question for today, again, 115. And let me get right over here to the switchboard real quick. And today's prize, I will share with you, today's prize is brought to you by Critter-Cages.com. We'll hear just a second about them here for a moment. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Yes, and today's prize is a beautiful, I posted it in the chat room a little earlier, a beautiful brand new brooder kit. It comes with the water and a feeder and a heat lamp and the bulb and the corral to keep them all in there, and it's a great value. $49.99, so it's a $50 value, $50, well, plus shipping to your front door, so it's over a $50 value, and every Thursday's prize is brought to you by critter-cages.com. So the way this works, if you're new, somebody will read you the question. Today it happens to be Dr. McRae. She has her question. She will read that to you. I'll announce the winning caller here in a moment. If you're the right caller and have the right answer, then you're going to win, voila, that awesome prize from critter-cages.com. Every day we give a prize away. We give prizes away on Facebook, and every Friday we do nothing but give prizes away the whole show. So we're very fortunate to have some great sponsors that allow us to do that. So let's go ahead and we'll get started, and we'll have – well, first let me tell you, I'm going to have Dr. McRae do the question, but we will take caller number 8. Hadn't done that one in a while. Caller number 8, I'll give you the number, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. Caller number 8 if you want to answer the question. Okay, Doc, we're ready.
Okay, thank you very much for allowing me to do the question today. It comes from, yes, once again, my Facebook page, the Center for Small Flock Research and Innovation. In case any of you out there are visual question test takers, you can go to that Facebook page and read the question that I'm about to read off to you. It is a multiple choice question, and it comes from the embryology section of the 4-H Avian Bull Manual. Are you ready?
I'm there right now looking at it. Let's roll.
Okay. What is the term for the amount of moisture in the air compared with the amount that the air could contain at specific temperatures? Is it A, wet bulb thermometer, B, still air incubator, C, relative humidity, or D, peristaltic humidity? I'll read the question one more time for you out there.
Super.
What is the term for the amount of moisture in the air compared with the amount that the air could contain at specific temperatures? Is it A, wet bulb thermometer, B, still air incubator, C, relative humidity, or D, peristaltic humidity? That's a pretty evil laugh there, Andy. What did somebody type in?
I'm looking at one of the answers that is posted on your page. Folks, if this is a great page, too. You can learn so much. Facebook, it's the Center for Small Flock Research and Innovation. The Center for Small Flock Research and Innovation. Search it on Facebook. Join. It's a great. There's a daily question that will get you educated on poultry. But I love one of the answers, and I said it after the fact, but I just saw that and just started laughing.
Sometimes people will insert their own answers. If you scroll down a couple to a question that I gave out a couple days back, or actually yesterday, I had asked, what's the name for a certain type of broken egg, and And, you know, I gave four choices, and they made their own, which was a disappointment. So, yeah, broken eggs are a disappointment unless you crack them into your own fry pan.
So let me, because I was did as okay, it was Czech. That's what it was called. The correct answer on that one was Czech.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And nobody guessed it. Nobody had. I hadn't come across that situation in a long time.
I surely inedible. A cracked egg is not inedible around our house. That's for sure. Just cracked egg.
Right. And Czechs are technically not inedibles. Inedibles are different. Dirties are different. Leakers are different from Czechs.
Gotcha.
So. Yeah, if those of you out there are, you know, really kind of dig this chicken trivia and are always putting yourself on the learning curve, get yourself a copy of the 4-H Avian Bowl Manual through Clemson University. It's wonderful fun. And you'll have a better shot at answering my questions when I ask them every day on my Facebook page.
Absolutely. And hang on just a second. Yeah, great site. Also, I was going to ask you, I don't think this year there's a Cooptastic. Is that correct?
No. Since I'm teaching this semester, I will not be having Cooptastic. But this Saturday, up at the Carroll County, Maryland Extension Center in Westminster, they're having the Mid-Atlantic Poultry Expo. And I'm speaking there on organic poultry. And also on raising exotic fowl, such as peafowl, guinea fowl, game birds. There are going to be speakers on turkey production, urban poultry, protecting your flock. We're going to constantly, throughout the day, be doing the talk on egg grading and handling, because there's so many people interested in that. We're going to be talking about production basics, breeds, brooding, feeds, and feeding. And how we're also got a really interesting talk on inserting poultry into a diversified livestock operation, pasturing, housing, feeding, and watering, litter and mortality, and also marketing and economics. Because if you are, you know, really into this chicken thing and you're ready to go from a hobby farmer to making a little bit of money,
mm-hmm.
You know, marketing and economics is where you're going to be putting your learning hat on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's going to be starting, I believe they're going to start registration at 8:30 with mm-hmm. talks beginning at 9:30. And they've got a 4-H group doing food and a demonstration on poultry processing equipment going on all day.
Sounds like a plan. Sounds like a plan. Very good. Thanks for sharing that. The switchboard lit up like a Christmas tree, so a lot of people think they might know the answer to this. And of course, many of you know that when it comes to wrong answers, I'm very polite and very nice. The worst you might get is
not me. I want that buzzer.
There you go.
Wrong,
or you might hear. But it's okay. So, and it's multiple guess. Multiple guess. A, B, C, or D. So let's go ahead.
I will accept answers either as, you know, the uh-huh. words, or you can just say A or B or C or D. But we didn't have an E, so don't answer E, okay?
Or you want to put E and then make up your own answer, but it probably won't be right.
Right.
So, okay, let's see. Caller number 8123456789. We're bringing them live now. And, oh, by the way, if you're new and you're participating, as soon as I bring this caller live and announce their area code, don't automatically hang up, because this caller might get it wrong, and then we'd actually go to the next caller. But I do like to have fun with this, and it gets a lot of laughs. But I will tell you, caller number 7 was from area code 203. So you are so close. I know, that's bad, isn't it? Caller from area code 203, you were so close, but you weren't caller number 8. So we'll go to caller number 8 right now. I love you too. Area code 253, you're on the air with Andy and Dr. McCray. Jen's over there smiling and shaking her head going, you're so bad. state your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hi, I'm Trish from Washington.
Trish from Washington. Thank you very
much. All right, Washington State.
Is it D, parastolic?
No.
Oh.
Thanks anyway.
No. Sorry. Trish, thanks so much for listening, and appreciate you being in the chat room. But no, so sorry. But, hey, that just means we go to the very next caller. I told you not to hang up when I went to that caller, so you just never know. So hang on. Let me scroll down. Caller number nine. Caller number nine, you're live on the air. Caller calling in from area code 412. You're live on the air. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hi, this is William, and I'm from Pittsburgh.
William, up in Pittsburgh. All righty. Hey, thanks
William.
For tuning in.
Hi.
What do you think it would be?
I'd have to go with relative humidity.
Good job. Congratulations.
All righty, yeah.
I could get me into the chicken business now.
Exactly.
You just want a new fan. You just want a new fan. I was sitting there going, okay, that lady didn't get it right. I'm going, all right. Now he said number nine, but he did not see area code. Oh, man, he did not see area code. And then you stuck it in there. I have a little experience in heating. Okay, years ago I used to have a heating company. So if I missed that question, shame on me.
Awesome.
I'm glad you knew the answer.
Me too. Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, I tell you what you got to do. I'll put you on hold here. If you claim your prize. Last bit of information here for the prize. To claim your prize, I need you to send me an email. And let me go ahead and give you that information. You can send me an email to, pretty easy to remember, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. All of our email system is on .net. So chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. In the subject line of the email, put brooder kit. That'll be great, brooder kit. And then within the email, I need a few things. I need your name, your shipping address. Go ahead and add your telephone number if there's any problems through critter cages, and go ahead and put in your email address so I can copy and paste all of that and send it over to Carl over at critter-cages.com. You have won, again, a $50 brand-new brooder kit, waterer, feeder, bulb, lamp, corral, the whole nine yards, valued at $50 plus shipping. So to get it, if I don't hear from you, you won't get it. chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Brooder kit in the subject line, name, shipping address, phone number, and email in that email itself. Send it over to me, and I'll get that over this afternoon to Carl at critter-cages.com. We appreciate them sponsoring the show today. So,
thank you, Critter Cages.
Yes, and thank you so much, Dr. McCray, for coming on and teaching us all about the respiratory system of our chickens. And
you can breathe easy knowing more about your flock. I hope you've been inspired.
Yes, this show was really a breath of fresh air. So.
Thank you.
Jen again
You're
is
so
up
punny.
There shaking her head going, this is getting really bad now. Yes, it's the wind beneath our wings. And,
oh, nice. Excellent.
Oh, they're endless around here, folks. Join us tomorrow for even more hideous jokes. Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Thank you for having me on, Andy.
Just says yes, and he's also full of hot air, too.
Ooh!
Speaking of respiratory.
Nice! Excellent.
Oh,
good.
My gracious.
Good timing.
I'm telling you what. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. McCray. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. Bye.
Hoo-wee, only here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We appreciate you. We appreciate everybody that called in and gave it a shot. That's the only way we're going to learn. And so I believe that was Trish. And great. We appreciate it when you call in. Even if you get it wrong, we love you. And you'll know next time when this answer may appear later on. So, and congratulations to our listener up in Pittsburgh. I'll be getting their information a little bit later. Okay, now we need to go on. We're going to take a short break here. We come back, I've got some chickens in the news I'm going to share with everybody, and then that'll wrap up the show. So stay tuned. We will be back with our chickens in the news segment right after this short break from our sponsors that allow us to give away all these awesome prizes. We'll be back right after this short break.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run. But do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Chickens in the News segment. You can see most all of our Chickens in the News on our Facebook page. Just follow us over there on or become a fan on Facebook, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. So let me scroll down here a little bit. I had posted one earlier today. Here we go. Chickens all wrapped up for the big freeze. I believe this is coming out of Canada. And if I can just get it to open up here for a second, I clicked on the link. You can do that as well at our Facebook page. This comes to us from the Express and Star. Express and Star. Chickens all wrapped up for the big freeze. I will just say, at least they're not using a dangerous unnecessary heat lamp. There, I got it out that time. Chickens all wrapped up for the big freeze. With temperatures expected to drop as low as 9 degrees Celsius tonight, these chickens will truly be cock of the farmyard as they sit pretty in their very own woolly jumpers. Yep. Thanks to an appeal in the Express and Star just before Christmas, donations of dinky little nits for ex-battery chickens have flooded into the Green Meadow Animal Sanctuary in Paddingham, South Staffordshire. Say that 10 times. More than 50 individual woolly creations from as far away as Canada have been sent in. Owner Daphne, oh, maybe this wasn't in Canada. Maybe this is over in the UK. Okay, it is in the UK. Maybe I saw Canada when I was reading it earlier and thought it was from Canada. So it is from the UK. So more than 50 individual woolly creations from as far away as Canada have been sent in. Owner Daphne Wayne had appealed to knitters after a delivery of 14 ex-battery hens that, due to their previous conditions, had very few feathers and muscle wastage. This meant they were not even able to move around to keep warm during the cold winter nights, she said. Today, I'm so touched. One lady from Canada has been wonderful. She has sent 8 of these knitted woolly creations for her chickens. And the jumpers have certainly come in at the right time, with temperatures forecast to fall as low as 15 degrees tonight, 9 degrees Celsius, and snow possibly by the weekend. So again, what makes this unique? These are ex-battery hens, layer hens, if you will, in these small little metal cages, about 6 to 9 chickens in a tiny little area. They have about as much space as a sheet of copy paper. And so obviously with them rubbing against each other and pecking and rubbing against the metal cages and other issues, they lack a lot of feathers. And so when it gets cold, that is a concern. And they've got these chickens all wrapped up in these knitted sweaters and jumpers since they lack feathers. And so this was a great story. You can read all about this also on our Facebook page. Let me see if I posted any later last night that may want to share with you. Of course, we're right smack dab in the middle of the chicken coop contest. Collect those passwords daily. Let's see if we've got also on our page yesterday, the AVHS, something high school farm, has a Ustream video live that you can click on. Beth, I'm going to totally destroy her name, Beth Swalla, and I'm so bad with that, I'm sorry, Beth, has a live webcam in her incubator. It's on US Stream Live, but you can go to our Facebook page. Facebook.com/TheChickenWhisperer. Scroll down a little bit. It was posted yesterday. And you can see live video footage right now. I'm looking at the little baby chicks just kind of wobbling around inside her incubator at her high school. So how cool is that? You can find that there on our Facebook page. Also, let me make this announcement. There is going to be a free educational webinar, a completely free educational webinar provided to you by ManaPro. You can sign up for this free educational webinar all about chickens. I will be one of the presenters myself, the Chicken Whisperer, along with Derek, the founder, co-founder of My Pet Chicken, him and his wife, Derek and Tracy. Derek will be there, as well as Dr. Rob McCoy. He's the Vice President of Nutrition with ManaPro. This is going to be, I believe it's Wednesday the 29th, if memory serves. That's the same day we're giving the chicken coop away. How cool is that going to be? But it's in the evening, and there'll be a link. There's a link on our Facebook page where you can sign up for free for that webinar. The three of us will be taking all of your questions. Again, free webinar on Wednesday, February the 29th. And you can sign up. There's a link there on our Facebook page to sign up for that. And also, here's one more Chickens on News I'll share with you, and then we'll wrap up the show. This comes to us from FIC, Food Integrity Campaign, protecting our food by empowering whistleblowers, whether you like that or not, and you agree with that or not. Shocking poultry transport conditions throughout the country, says study. This comes to us from Sarah Damien. It's no secret that the poultry industry is a leading culprit in food integrity no-nos, not to mention a top source of foodborne illness. But you'd think chicken producers, knowing that, Campylobacter in poultry sickens 600,000 Americans a year, and salmonella in poultry costs $700 million in annual medical bills, would do the minimum effort of basic facility cleanliness. But not so, according to a new report. This comes to us from The Meeting Place here. Survey results seem to indicate that about 80% of poultry growers don't ever sanitize their crates, according to an Auburn University survey of 10,317 farms. Okay, these are the transportation crates that the chickens are put into right from the farm, get on that big 18-wheeler. You'll see them driving down the road, a bunch of white chickens in all these little crates. 80% of poultry growers don't ever sanitize those crates, according to, hey, Auburn University survey of 10,317 farms. What more? Just 18.3% sanitize their trucks and trailers. Two areas that contribute to the spread of Salmonella and Campylobacter. So we got 18.3% of all of the companies that were surveyed, only 18.3% even sanitized their trucks and trailers year after year after year. So you can read the rest of this article, too, on our Facebook page. I just thought I would share that with you as well while I was scrolling down here and looking at that. And a lot of other great stories from – oh, and this one's not good either. I will share this one with you because it'll just make you really frown to end the show on a sad note. But this comes to us from the Worcester News. This also comes to us, I believe, from – is this either the UK or is it Australia? Anyway, outrage as thieves steal pupil's chicken coop. What do these people have nothing else to do but steal a chicken coop from a school? That's exactly what happened. Thieves have left children at a village primary school distraught after stealing their new chicken coop. The plastic coop, worth about $800, actually more based on the exchange rate, was taken from St. Barnabas First and Middle School, Drake's Broughton, near Worcester, between 4 p.m. on Monday and 7:50 a.m. yesterday. The school's eco committee had raised the funds for the coop from grants and were planning to house about 10 chickens in the chicken coop as a part of their sustainability project. Pupils have been working for the last 2 years on the project, which includes reducing waste, recycling, and growing their own vegetables. Head teacher Paul Killigan said the theft had left the children very upset. They have watched the fence go up all week. It was due to be finished today. There are lots of unhappy children. They're outraged that someone would think about taking it, let alone take it. We were expecting the chickens in the next 2 weeks. This was the first step in the project. The pupils wanted to use the waste products from the chickens for compost and the eggs in the school kitchens. Now we will have to fundraise again to make up the excess from the insurance. The new 3-meter-long coop was an igloo cube made of plastic wire and had a wire mesh run attached to it. We're all familiar, most of us are familiar with the igloo coops. It had been tucked away in the corner of the school grounds and could not be seen from the outside. Police spokesperson Toby Shergold said, if anybody saw any suspicious activity outside the school late last night or in the morning, please contact the West Mirsa Police. So that's kind of the low to steal a chicken coop from an elementary school. Don't you think, folks? That is kind of the low of the low. Now you've got all these kids, there we go, that have no chicken coop on a project that they've been looking or been planning for. So that is the low of the low. Alrighty, folks, well, that's going to wrap up another great Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show. We do thank you from the bottom of our heart for listening in. And, CW will help them, right? You know, I tell you, Trish, it has crossed my mind. Of course, they're across the pond, so I don't know. I know we have listeners across the UK, and Andreas isn't in the chat room today, but he's a regular listener from Norway, and we got listeners in Australia and just really all over the planet. And when I read that, I thought, okay, how can we get them a replacement coop? I've got lots of sponsors and things. We could do a fundraiser, things like that. Times are tough for everybody. I hate it. They're kids, but I don't know. You may have talked me into it. We'll just have to see, Trish. We'll do what we can and keep you abreast of the situation, no pun intended. So, but again, thank you for listening today. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening to the archive at your time interval when it's convenient for you. And thanks to all our chat room chicken ears, including our new, I think, fan and regular listener, Trish. We appreciate you coming in and joining us. So we appreciate you as well. And tomorrow is another great fun Friday. We have tons of prizes to give away. We have some new prizes to give away. $15 gift certificate to, let's see, critter-cages.com. $15 gift certificate to Stromberg's Chickens. We got... we'll have something. We've got some chunky chicken caviar from My Pet Chicken. We'll have some Happy Hen treats from Randall Berkey. Let's see what else we've got. We've got a $15 gift certificate to Solar Night Eyes. Oh my goodness, let me go down the list. There's just there's so many prizes. We'll have a prize from McMurray Hatchery tomorrow as well, and just tons of prizes. I've got to start working on trivia questions this afternoon. Pardon me, had to yawn there. Long show, but exciting show. So, I got to go start looking for trivia questions for tomorrow's show. And, of course, between now and then, tomorrow at 12 p.m., you can follow us and become a fan on our Facebook page. And, of course, Twitter. We're at Backyard Poultry on Twitter. So thank you very much for tuning in. We will see you all tomorrow for Fun Friday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Oh.